So when you hear that someone's a speaker and see that they speak at venues and stages, what is your gut reaction? Usually impressed, right? You instantly know that they're a coveted authority that is an expert at something. And if you want that kind of credibility and become a highly paid authority, then podcast guesting is your gateway to speaking on stage. So today we're going to speak with Anastasia Lipsky, a speaker and podcast booking agency, to share tips on how to bridge that gap from podcasts to the stage. Let's get started. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey folks, it's Lindsay with the Leverage Your Podcast Show. And you know, I love guesting on podcasts and talking about it. But what I love about my guest today, Anastasia Lipsky, is that she has such a huge speaker background and a PR. And to speak to a podcast booking agency that has that speaker foundation, I think is really interesting. Not only to have those skills while you're guesting on a podcast, but to guest on a podcast that could lead you to speaking. So welcome to the show, Anastasia. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. I am so happy to be here. Appreciate the reach out.
So of course we were chatting before we hit record here. And so you used to be in speaking, and as everyone knows, with COVID, we've all had to pivot somewhat, some way, but you yes. had a massive pivot. Yeah. Was that scary for you?
Absolutely. Well, I basically lost my business overnight. So a little background for your listeners is that I had a very unique speaker agency. It was, in essence, an agency that was focused on platform or marketing speakers. These are people who speak for free to grow their business. So this is absolutely breaking the model. The traditional speaking world is that you have an agent, like a talent agent, that will find you speaking engagements for a fee, right, and they take 20 to 30% of that fee, and that's how they make their money. What I ended up doing was that basically flipping that model, because there are people that see the value of speaking to grow your business, to use it to generate influence, awareness, clients all through that platform. And so in the past, their only option, if they wanted to be on that platform, was to book themselves or maybe get a VA to do it for them. But they didn't have an agency that was dedicated specifically to helping them because it didn't fit the model. So those were the people that I was taking care of and representing for many, many, many years until March of 2020 happened. And every single email I got was a cancellation because all of my clients were speaking in person. I mean, now we all speak virtually, right? Back then, though, there was some of that going on. It wasn't much. So knowing that this was a major marketing tool for many of my clients, they were grounded. They lost that marketing tool on top of everything else. So that's when I decided to embrace the pivot, air quotes, word of 2020, and dip my toes into podcast guesting for my clients as a way to kind of tide them over. I knew enough about Google Juice and the way the digital footprint works out there, you know, get SEO, search engine optimization. I knew enough about that, that I knew whoever's out there are those the people that are going to get picked up when the world gets back to speaking in person again. Never in a million years did I think that it was going to drag on the way that it did. But I knew that if they stayed out there, they stayed fresh, sharpened the saw, as Stephen Covey would say, as opposed to just saying, woe is me, I'm going to eat my bonbons and watch, you know, do a Netflix binge. It was the people that decided to stay out there that are the ones that came out on top when we came through this other side. So I had had clients who had asked me to book them on podcasts before, and I always said no, because I didn't have the bandwidth. And honestly, it was a world that wasn't familiar to me. But now I got nothing, right? So I invite them all to try this with me. Let me beta test it. The ones that said yes, now years after the fact, they are still podcast guesting in addition to speaking again, because they see the value of podcast guesting to supplement everything with regards to their visibility, establishing themselves as experts, but it also helps them get more speaking engagements.
Agreed. Absolutely. So let's get into some of the nitty gritty. Like what of the speaking world, if you will, were you able to bring into the podcasting side of things in getting people booked?
Well, I would say, you know, if people go at it from the viewpoint of being a speaker, there's a credibility that goes along with that. Okay. There's this assumption that if you are out there talking about something and you're actually doing presentations, there is this assumed expertise that we have of a speaker. It has a little more street cred than someone who's doing podcast guesting. And I can't explain why, because it's you're guessing, you need to know what you're talking about, in particular, because, you know, you might be asked questions and it's going to be pretty evident if you don't know what you're talking about. But there is this assumed credibility that comes along with it. So there's a power to it. And there is kind of a cachet to it. When someone is a speaker, they have this authority that's different than just someone who's guessing. And I don't mean to say just, I kind of want to extrapolate that word, because it diminishes everything that a person is saying. So forget the just, but it is a powerful way to do that. And my agency, what was different is that we present things, or we operate very different than any other agency I know, because we started as a speaker agency. And when I decided to dip my toes and beta test podcast guesting for my clients, I didn't know what I was doing. So the only thing I thought about was just keep doing what I'm doing, but do it with podcasts, right? And so I didn't know podcast agencies existed. I had no idea. Never occurred to me that someone would pay someone to book them on a podcast, which is kind of silly when you think about it, because that's what everybody thought about what I did for speaking. But I didn't put it two together, you know, and so I just started doing it, and it was hugely successful. And then I started doing it myself too. So I, as evidenced by the fact that you and I are talking about this right now, I personally prefer podcast guesting over speaking, because I don't want to do a planned presentation for many people. And so this slides is one of the big differences, right? And even if you're not using visual aids, which are valuable, even if you're not, there's still this pressure. I've got X amount of time. I need to cover X amount of points. I've got to have my opening, my middle, my closing, like all the stuff we learn about how to do a speaker presentation that are all very, very important. I don't have to worry about that as much with podcast guesting. So for me, this is better, but I know so many people that they would much rather do the prepared presentation, because they have more control over what they're sharing. So we come back to that same thing about, you got to know, either way, you have to know what you are talking about, like the back of your hand, to be best prepared and to be able to come off in a way that the people who are listening or watching you are going to see that you deserve to be on that platform. And that's going to be really important.
That's true. And you have a good point. When someone is on stage, you have, you know, exactly what meat you're going to deliver to the audience. You know what your recipe and what your call to action is at the end. And it should be the same for podcasts. Yes, it may be a conversation, but if you steer your talk the right way and the interview questions, it can still deliver that same impact. Now, as a podcast guest, we are typically told, have a one sheet, have a topic, have interview questions to some degree. When you're preparing a speaker, is it different?
Yes and no. Very similar, but you want to, so there's two ways of doing it. You can have separate sheets, or you can have a hybrid. If you have the the means, which might be financial to have, you know, someone create your one sheet, or just the time, you know, the bandwidth to put the time and effort into thinking it through, I do recommend having separate ones.
Yeah.
Now, if you have to choose between the two, better to have a speaker sheet, because a podcast host will use a speaker sheet and be able to get a sense for what that guest is going to be like far more than a speaker event planner. You give them a podcast one sheet, they are not going to look at that person and know that they can present. Oh. So you can't really use it the other way around. So if you're a podcast guest and all you've got is a podcast one sheet and you want to get a speaking engagement, mm-hmm. you are going to have a harder time.
Really? What are the differences?
Because you don't have this onstage experience. That's not what's being conveyed on your one sheet. So mm-hmm. the primary differences. So in any one sheet, if I can toss out a few tips.
Totally.
Okay. So one of the big mistakes that I see people making is that they put their name big and at the top. What you want more than anything big and at the top is who you are and what you're about. So it's kind of not a full tagline, but if you look at my one sheet, it's about using your voice because that's what I'm about. That's my passion. Then my name is the second biggest thing. Mm. You're going to want to have at least one image. Okay. If you have an action image you can throw in there, that's ideal. If you got something with you standing in front of an audience right. or you in front of a podcast microphone, something like that, those are great to have in there as well. But you only have a limited amount of space and you don't want it to be too crazy busy. So, and never, even though you can go to two sheets, try to stick to one if you can.
Oh, really?
And if you must go to two, that's okay, but never, ever, ever, ever go beyond two.
No.
The only time I've ever seen anybody go beyond two is when they are a pro speaker and they got a lot to be in there because people have, the attention span of a gnat these days because they have so much coming at them, right? So we want to make it really at a glance who you are and what you're about. So within that, you're going to have your image or images, and then your bio will be very similar. So it's the bio is really to let people know that you have the right to be talking about what you're talking about, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But that's when we start to see the differences after that. So if it's a speaker sheet, ideally you have a signature topic. The one thing that you own, that you are most known for. And that's what you're going to have more descriptive content about. You're going to have a captivating, compelling topic title. You're going to have a brief, very, very brief description of what you're going to cover and have a few key points that people can walk away with. So that you can have a full description. You can then have, you know, Lindsay also speaks on these topics and maybe toss out two or three more lines of topic titles.
Right.
That's one way that you can do a speaker one sheet. If you are doing a podcast one sheet, having some of those sample questions or conversation starters really helps the host be able to get a sense of what they can talk about. Mm-hmm. So you can have your primary topic. If there is this primary thing that you are most known for, you can have that topic, but you don't take up as much space describing that topic. It might be just a briefer list or maybe a few topic titles, and then have some of those, you know, those very interesting and compelling conversation starters that are going to be in there. So it's just slightly different. One is you're preparing them to know what you could be talking about. The other one is preparing the event planner on what you can be speaking on. Then you're going to have testimonials. Hmm. Now, one of the biggest mistakes I see people making on their one sheets is that they have testimonials about their business, about their services. Lindsay's podcast leveraging program that I did was so amazing. You know, my podcast grew from, you know, this to this or something like that. No. That's great, but we don't want to know how great you are at what you do. The purpose of the one sheet is to get you booked, to get you to speak or get you on that interview. So the testimonials would be about you as a speaker on the speaker one sheet. And ideally, if you can get those testimonials from the event planners, event planners or the program chair or the president of the company, What you want is it's the people who hired you, the people who went to bat and found you and said, this is the speaker that I'm choosing out of all these others that I feel is going to be best for this meeting, this conference, to get their testimonial. That is gold. On the podcast one sheet, you get testimonials from the host about what a great host you were and how much the audience, you know, enjoyed what they heard, blah, blah, blah. So that's another difference, is those testimonials. You also want to have a list of previous places where you have spoken. Okay, so that's going to be the names of the conferences or the groups that you've been in front of, so that people know that you've been out there speaking. On the podcast one, it's going to be the list of shows that you have been on. One of the beautiful things about speaker sheets and one sheets in general these days is that they're digital. So we send a PDF to somebody instead of printing out 1,000 copies, and then you find out you got a typo afterwards, or you know, you got a new headshot, but you are not going to spend the money to print out those new one sheets, right? We can change the one sheets at any given time. As you start doing more podcast guesting and you start getting on shows that are bigger name shows or maybe more aligned with what you really want to be known for, you swap them out. But the beauty is you can actually make them active links. We never had that before. So people can literally click on it and listen. They're looking at your one sheet. They could actually listen to an episode because it's going to take them straight to that, right? Speaking, not so much, because you don't have the recording generally. No. And usually that's proprietary content. Most planners, you know, they don't want you to share
knowledge.
Anything. Right. So that's another thing that's very different. What you want to keep in mind is that the purpose of these one sheets is to get the decision maker to take a chance on you. That's how I want to sing that song. Take a chance on me. So
yes.
So you want to write it in such a way that they know that they're going to be glad they brought you on. An event planner, program chair, they got a lot riding on it. Okay, they are going to be judged at the end of that meeting or that conference by the caliber of the speakers that they brought in. A host has a little more control because a host, unless it's live, theoretically, you could choose not to air the episode if it doesn't quite go the way you want it to. So, you know, you though, you still have a lot riding on it. It's your time.
It's your brand.
And how awkward, right? How awkward for you to go to somebody and say, yeah, not really feeling that was a good one. So I'm not going to air it. So, you know, I feel for you, for the hosts, because it is hard to do that.
Yeah.
So those are primary differences. I could speak forever. Oh, and please, for the love of all things holy, do not forget to put your contact information.
Oh,
I have
seen
one sheets. I'm telling you.
Really?
PR. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Man. Even a branding agency that had a client didn't have the contact information there.
Boy.
And they said, well, but we attach it to our emails. And that's the thing.
You don't want to look in 50 places for something.
And what if it gets separated, right? The person's printing it out and they're taking it and they're putting it in a folder and they're sharing it with their boss who's going to take it to a boardroom. They're going to talk about, you know, potential speakers, clients, whatever.
Yeah.
It gets separated. So have your contact information in there and be approachable. Be easy to reach. Don't hide behind contact forms on your website and things like that.
That drives
me because
nuts.
that just screams, or be private on LinkedIn. It's like, wait, what? Why are we doing this?
I know.
We want visibility, right?
Yeah, and accessibility. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
So let me ask you this. So if you're a podcast guest and you're like, ooh, I want to take it to the next level and speak at different events, like you said, it just boosts your credibility, your authority, and converting and selling from the stage is phenomenal. How do you know that you're ready to go into the speaking world? And what would you need to do to get ready?
Practice, practice, practice. Okay, so this is where the speaking really differs from podcast guesting. So there are people that know content like the back of their hand, but they've got you know, kind of got the personality of a wet noodle. There's just no way they can pull off keeping people engaged for a 45-minute presentation. It's a little bit easier in a conversation, because a good host can usually, not always, that's why hosts, you get to vet people too, right?
Yep.
If you want to listen to what they sound like. So I know you have a lot of hosts that are listening. So please, hosts, vet your guests.
Absolutely.
Please listen to how they sound on at least a few episodes for a few minutes, because if they are not engaging, if they're not conversationalists, don't have them on your show, because it's going to be so hard for you. It's going to be like pulling eye teeth to have that conversation. And us on the other end, we know that. We feel
it's
that.
It's an awkward listening experience.
Right? Yeah, it's like cringeworthy, because you do feel awkward for those people. My litmus test on both sides, whether it's a host listening to a guest or a guest listening to a potential show that they want to run themselves by, my litmus test is, as you're listening, ask yourself the question, would I like to sit in a cafe and have a cup with this person? If the answer is no, don't do it, because this is an energetic movement. We either resonate with people or we don't. And we can't even explain why sometimes. Totally. You know, maybe there's some deep trauma from our second grade teacher who put us in the corner, and this person sounds just like them. Like, I don't know, right? But we want to be careful of that. So pay attention to the energy. So you, as a speaker, you've got to get out there. You've just got to do the presentations. Now, virtual has made it a lot easier for us, because you can start off with virtual presentations. You can do your own events, so you can get practice at being able to convey content in a certain amount of time within a certain parameter, you know? So doing your own is going to be helpful. Going out to people that you know that have are related to meetings, groups, organizations that meet, you can do that. You can get professional help. I do recommend, here's the thing. I kind of want to give a shout out to all us professionals out there, because every one of us, and I suspect pretty much every one of your clients, they're professionals as well. They get hired for their expertise. They get hired because they know what they're doing. And yet, many of us, and myself included, will stop short of hiring someone who can take me to the next level, because I don't feel like I want to invest that time, money, effort, etc. But the reality is, if I don't do that, sometimes I'm shooting myself in the foot. This is that E-Myth mentality. I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but it's that idea of outsourcing anything that we possibly can, and we stick to our brilliance. So the same thing with getting a professional to help you craft your message. There are many wonderful speaker, trainers that are out there that can help you craft your message. If you are using this as a marketing tool, do not stop shy of getting professional help to do it right, because otherwise you're just out there and you're kind of wasting your time and money. Yeah, I know. You're not going to get the results.
So I always say you're throwing spaghetti on a wall and hoping it sticks.
Absolutely. It's like,
why not go to someone that has a proven model on skills of how to like convey yourself, body language, speaking, movement, like you said, the messaging, all of it. Because when you are on stage and you have a captive 50, 100, 300 people in that audience, that is your one opportunity. You don't get a redo.
Nope. There's no editing.
No, that too.
No editing. Absolutely. And you have to captivate them. You do. So there's that. Another thing I would say also is that for anyone who is wanting to go that direction, start embracing the idea, the concept of you as a speaker. Let it be part of your language. When you meet people and they say, oh, what do you do? You know, it's I'm a speaker, I'm an author, I have this, I do that, whatever. You actually include that. You don't want to say I'm all these things, and then maybe if you remember, you say, oh, and I'm a speaker too. that's not the same as really embracing it. So mindset is really important as to how we show up in the world and using that language, and also remembering that digital footprint that we're talking about is that speaker and your name. The more often those two are put together in the same field, the more you're going to come up in rankings when someone is considering you as a speaker. This is where podcast guesting is really powerful to helping speakers get booked, is that Google juice. It is the digital footprint because your name's out there more. And we also have that law of familiarity, where the more often we see people's names, there's this assumed credibility, right? So all of that, you can do so much more in the podcasting world than you can in the speaking world. If it's of any value, and you can edit this out if you don't want to put it in there, but I did do a talk, a webinar specifically on using podcast guesting to grow your speaking business, where I can go into more detail on it. I did it for an organization called Innovation Women, which I highly recommend. Yeah. Oh my gosh, they are so amazing. So for it's an online visibility platform for women speakers, and they have these a webinar series. And so this was geared specifically to speakers on how to use podcast guesting. So, you know, rather than reinvent the wheel, if people wanted a little bit more, they might want to just check out that webinar. And you don't have to be a woman to watch it. So, you know, the value is still there. It's still all applicable, but that is one way that I would recommend that they start. So get out there, get practice, hire a professional to get help. There's other things. Toastmasters can help you tremendously.
I never think of that.
National Speakers Association, that is geared specifically to helping you if you are making speaking your profession, or it is a big part of your professional makeup. Yeah. So I do recommend them as well.
That's awesome. I love how you alluded to the fact of putting your name and it being synonymous with speaker. Mm-hmm. And it's like your social media profiles, your bio, like it all has to be consistent. And as soon as someone goes to your LinkedIn profile, or as soon as they go to your website, you want people to know that you're a guest expert that speaks on podcast, or a speaker that speaks on stage. I have another question for you in regards to like how you showcase yourself as a speaker. I've often seen speakers, I need a dollar for every time we've used the word speaker, that they have like a speaker's page on their website. And it's like, sometimes it'll have a sizzle reel and obviously their bio and like where they've spoken and topics and what have you, but you don't often see that for podcast guests. Do you think all podcast guests should have like a speaker page, if you will?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. So here the thing, again, you can combine it. Okay.
Right.
It could be both. It could be speaking, podcast guesting, you know, or you could separate them. But I usually recommend combining them unless you have so much speaking content,
right,
and you have so much podcast guesting content. But it's valuable to see both in one place. And I do feel like people miss opportunities on this because it's more exposure. So people are going to, you know, they're going to come to your site. You're going to be leading them to your site for so many different reasons, including obviously podcast guesting or hosting, right? Speaking, etc. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they have it in their mind to think about you for someone else's show. Mm-hmm. And when you share, especially in the podcasting world, when you backlink to shows and a host knows that you have backlinked to their show, that makes you their new best friend. There are so many, like one of the things I love talking about best practices, how to be that type of person that a host falls in love with. But that's just one of the many different ways, is having that in there. So you now have backlink capabilities, because every interview that you've done, you can have that linked in there and then people can click on it. In fact, I heard you on a podcast talking about you vetting guests And I know that you even covered this same idea of you look at their LinkedIn profile, you look to see how they're showing up on there, and you listen. You actually go and you check them out. So you make that easy for people when you have a page on your site that's going to link to your previous podcast. Now, I will say one of the things that I don't like that I've seen happen is that people have these huge images for every podcast they've been on. Now, we all, like in the world of website design, you have X amount of space. Okay, so people who are listening right now don't see. I keep trying. I'm drawing. Yes. I'm bringing it to tell you. I spent 5 weeks in Sicily just this summer. Okay, so it's a rectangle. I'm imagining the screen, the computer screen. Every inch that a person has to scroll down, we lose them.
Yeah.
So in the case of my website, what we do, because it's different, you know, I have an agency. So every one of my clients, we have a profile and we just list the name of the show and the host, and it's an active link. So that's the way that we've done it. I have recently seen someone that I really like the way that he did it, in that he had a small square, because we start to recognize the cover art of podcasts, especially some of the bigger ones, right? So you can use that cover art and just have a brief snippet and a link to that episode. So you can get a lot of them in there in a small amount of space, but don't be putting those 4-inch square images of a cover there, because no one's going to go down and see them all. It also makes it really hard for people to kind of sort it. So you're going to want to sort it so that the ones that are at the top are going to be the ones that were your best interviews. Yeah,
more impactful.
More impactful, the ones that you most resonate with. Okay, sometimes we do shows, we do interviews that are not 100% in our lane of our marketing plan.
Yes.
Okay, like I've got a type 1 son. So if I get invited to talk about what it's like to be the mother of a son who has type 1 diabetes, I might actually do that, you know, and I might throw that in there just as one more thing, because that kind of lets people see the personal side of me.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna have that at the top, because it has nothing to do with podcasting, right? So or what's very common is shows that are geared, let's say, towards middle-aged women. Okay, I can be on a show geared towards middle-aged women in business, like, how do you pivot? How do you, you know, how are you doing things different in your 60s than you did in your 40s? Like, that's awesome, because I do get to highlight what I do for a living. So it is applicable, but it's not as applicable as what I'm doing with you right now. Like, this podcast, I will tell you, will be in the top of my list of previous episodes that I've been on, because it's the most relevant.
Yeah. And it showcases your expertise and your authority.
Yes.
And when you're trying to pitch yourself to be speaking or on a podcast to talk about your expertise, to obviously, and for you to attract your ideal client, it makes way more sense.
Right. Now, I would caution people, you know, so it looks great to see a sheet or a page on a site where you see where this person has spoken, how many interviews they've done, that does establish their credibility. But for anyone who's listening right now, and you haven't done this yet, okay, now you may have some guests or not guests, but listeners who maybe they don't have their own show yet. They're listening to you because they're working on it. They're getting there. Or maybe they're working on guesting as part of their marketing strategy. Or maybe they are a host, but they don't do guesting. Please, hosts, remember, guesting is important, because that's how you get new people to find you, right? So there may be some people who they may think, I've got nothing. I how do I create a page when I don't have a list? Am I going to look like I don't know what I'm talking about? Because I only have maybe 3 interviews that I've done, and they were about my UFO fan club and my gardening, and like, who knows, right? I just want to caution people and remind everyone that we all start somewhere. Even if the podcast is not directly related, I mean, seriously, like, if you got nothing that's related to what you talk on, you literally could shared that as a caveat. Like, this is not me talking about my XYZ business that I know because I've done it for 42 years, but I want you to be able to hear my voice. So I'm leaving these in here for the time being. Once you start booking and you can start interviewing and you start sharing, and then you've got the links and you start adding them to your page, then you get to drop those others off, but still have a presence. You know, this is, you know, done is better than perfect. Yeah. We don't want to wait until we have everything lined up. In this world, especially in the guesting world, more and more people are jumping on the bandwagon with it. So the wait time to get interviewed is getting longer. I can speak this, okay? Because I'm experiencing this as an agent. People are booking up. So it may be quite some time before someone has an interview, and then it might be quite some time before the interview airs.
Yeah.
So you don't want to wait until you have everything perfect before you start getting out there, because you're missing that time. You're missing the potential momentum that you can build. And don't ever worry about perfection, because if there's anything that the pandemic has taught us, is that we don't need to be perfect. Nope. We now have an understanding. I mean, how many times did we see a BBC news?
Oh my goodness.
You know, person and the kids running in the room, and the mother's grabbing them out, or the cat's walking across
We're
the
all
keyboard.
Human. Like, you know what I mean?
When they stand up, they're not wearing their pants, which, by the way, I always dress. I'm all the way down. Yes, I'm always very careful because I want to come off professional, but authenticity.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. And we get to let go of the perfection. I mean, I'm one of those people that I go to movies and I stay till the very end, drives my family crazy because I have to see the very, very end, because so many times they have blooper reels and dedications and things like that, right? The reason why they have the blooper reels is because professional actors who are paid gazillions of dollars to speak, to act, to do their thing, they screw up all the time. But we don't see that. What we see is this perfect movie, perfect communication. They're not tripping over how they say things. You know, that's not life.
No, it's not.
So stay for the end. Watch the blooper reels, because that's more what life's about. And in this world of podcast guesting and speaking, just know that if you are out there and you are sharing your passion, you're sharing your expertise, and you're sharing it to bless other people, not to pitch your stuff, but to bless others, there will always be people who will resonate with you and they will want to work with you. And you can be authentic. If you are on a stage and you completely flub your lines, or you do something silly, just whatever, shake it off, acknowledge it, do whatever. Do not let it derail you.
Just laugh at it.
It's just
not
worth
that.
Yeah. we're all human. We all do that. You know, and some podcast hosts don't edit.
Yeah,
so,
I don't
you
really
know, we get to be real in life. So this is it, man. You get me, you get Lindsay.
Yep.
This is us. This is the raw deal. Yeah.
Exactly. I would rather people know me than some perfect version of.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's not to say we don't take it seriously.
Agreed.
Okay. Because I've seen that as well. And we don't want the pendulum to swing too far. You still want to be your professional self. You want to be your best
value.
Self. Yeah. Like we were talking about, you know, before we came in here and the green room conversation about what we do with dogs. Like I just, you all know, I go through great lengths to try to control my environment and the audio, because the audio is important. So I take the collars off my dogs so they can't shake and jingle and scratch themselves. And y'all hear all this dingling. I pick up all the toys, the birthday cake that my Fallon likes to squeeze and go off. And he's ready for a new one. He gets one every year because it's now really sounding bad. I close the blinds so that my dogs can't see the squirrels. I put a sign on my door outside saying, don't knock,
do what
please.
You gotta do.
I'm doing podcast guests, or I'm podcasting, right? You know, so you do all this. And at the end of the day, can't control what might happen, but I did my best. I put effort into it. So there's that balance. So be professional, do everything you can, have a microphone, have a headset, have all these things to control your environment, especially for the guests, because it's your sound. So Lindsay, your sound is far more important than mine right now. And that's why I've got the headset on and I've got the microphone to help feed into your sound so that it sounds better on that end. I don't have my speaker, my loudspeaker going next to me and it's coming through that and confusing things. So all these little things can help the caliber of the show and help the host have a higher quality audio output at the end of the day. So,
amen, man, you have given, we have covered quite a few things, but I love that you have given people tools of what to do, what not to do, and just to give themselves a leg up and open up those doors and open up those opportunities. And these are all very doable things that you can do over the next month to, again, open up those doors so that you can guest on more shows and so that you can, you know, move towards speaking on stages to boost your authority and credibility. So I love that your speaking background has helped you serve your clients and this audience in a bigger way. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And of course, can people find you? Obviously you help people get booked on stages, podcasts. I know only a couple of minutes left here, but I just want to make sure people know how you can help them.
Yeah. Thank you. I so appreciate that. So basically the easiest way for people to reach out to me, and I love hearing from people, but please introduce yourself. So I never know because we get so much spam stuff coming in right now. So I would suggest that everyone just go straight to my website, which is accessspeakers.biz, but put a /thank you. Hmm. Use that URL, and that's going to take you to a special page. And in there, it has more information about me, you know, links to my social media, which actually LinkedIn is the only social media sandbox I play in. So people can reach out to me there, but please introduce yourself. Otherwise, I might not accept it. I'm into relationships.
Me too.
I don't just take anybody. But anybody who's heard you, that makes them a friend of mine. But if they come in there, you know, they'll find out about my monthly Q&A. I do that just as a way to answer questions. It's a chance to pick the brain of a speaker and podcast booking agent, and it's not a pitch fest. By the way, we don't even use the word pitch in our agency. We propose our clients. I don't care for the word pitch.
I love that.
So I don't do that myself. And so my Q&A is full value. It's a lot of fun. So information can be found there. And just reach out. I love to gift people my time. So if anyone wants to have a conversation with me for 15, 20 minutes, like a little mini consultation, happy to look at their content, share some of my thoughts, give them a taste of what I do in my consulting practice, and just be able to support them as best I can. I love that people are using their voice. Yeah. And we all have a message. And if we have one that's of value and we don't share it with the world, we're doing the world a disservice.
Agreed.
So I encourage everyone to get out there, use the platforms available, and share your knowledge, your passion, your expertise, and make a difference, because you just never know where that might go, right?
Agreed. I always say, even if one or two people are listening and they had got one of our tips and it was helpful, that makes me happy.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why we do it. Yeah. We want to make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again. Yeah. You are an absolute gem.
You.
And of course, I know we will stay in touch.
Absolutely.
So yeah. So have a great night. And until next week, I'll see you next week on the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Ciao.
Awesome. Thank you, Lindsay.
And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.